I don't often get to wear my gifts from folks around the world, so pardon my attire this morning, but it does give me pause to remember my friends in Indonesia who don't always send gifts according to my size. Well, it's easy to feel with the disciples in this passage. In fact, their initial question has often been our question as well. At least it's been my question throughout most of my life. Lord, increase my faith. When I'm in over my head, too much going on in life, or maybe I'm heading to the dentist office, or maybe just up here to preach every Sunday, it's the same prayer. Help me, O Lord. I can't do this in my strength alone. Lord, increase my faith. Help me to do this. Make all of this turn out okay. Nearing the end of Jesus' ministry and his teaching ministry especially, it's easy for the disciples to feel overwhelmed by the responsibilities and the demands that Jesus has placed upon them, this impossible burden of what it means to follow as a disciple. If you've been here the last 2 weeks, you know some of the rigorous, demanding, hardest, challenging scriptures that are in the Gospels that we've talked about in the last two Sundays from Luke 16. These parables on wealth, they disturb us and they challenge us. And the disciples have heard all this, and in fact, they've heard even the whole scope of Jesus' ministry up to this point where Jesus invites them to leave everything behind and come follow him. And here again, we have some more strange and difficult teachings of Jesus just before the disciples ask the question to Jesus for their faith to be increased. Jesus invites them or tells them that if anybody sins against you seven times in one day, you don't turn them into the police and you don't call for an appointment to see a counselor. You forgive them. You forgive them if they sin against you seven times in one day. It's no wonder the disciples have this earnest, honest cry, increase our faith. It's not an easy road. And we should applaud the disciples for wanting more faith, because this time they're not wanting greatness, they're not wanting power or wealth, they're not wanting more comforts in life. They want more faith. It's a good thing, right? To be better disciples, to get better at what they're doing and following Jesus. Who of us can't agree in the midst of our dark times and fears to want more faith? We certainly have our doubts, our questions along the way. It's a good, pious response to have our faith increased. And sometimes I think, even as we look around the world, wouldn't it be great if at least the Christian church had more faith? If at least we would embrace the faith more clearly, wouldn't we have a little bit more heaven on earth? If we could see the issues of the day more clearly, be less contentious, less divisive, more united as we approach the poor and loving our enemies and bridging the violence and feeding hungry and caring for those at our gates and our borders, increase our faith so that maybe we'd be more joyful and hopeful and the things of the world, we could make a difference even. Well, whatever it is that the disciples are asking, Jesus doesn't seem to be that interested in giving to them an answer, at least one that's satisfying. In fact, Jesus seems to be saying, you have enough faith already. In fact, with just a mustard seed of faith, you can tell this mulberry tree to go into the ocean and it would do it. Just a little is enough. It has to be a shock for the disciples. They feel so inadequate to the task. They seem so small, so clumsy for this grand call to be and to live like Jesus. Earlier in the Gospels, Jesus talks some about faith. Jesus affirms those who have faith. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you well. What is it that Jesus means by this? Is there a connection between faith and getting our prayers answered or having our sickness healed? Your faith has saved you, Jesus says to multiple folks along your way. Your faith has made you well. Why, I haven't seen this much faith in all of Israel, Jesus says to a woman. What is it that Jesus sees in these people with faith? What does this faith thing look like? What is it that Jesus is affirming in those around him? On the surface, the only thing we can really say that these folks had is that they recognize Jesus. They see Jesus. They turn toward Jesus. It's a simple affirmation of somebody's willingness to ask Jesus for help. The only thing they really do, as one person said, is that they lean into Jesus' goodness, Jesus' mercy, Jesus' healing, Jesus' justice. Because here, Jesus says, if you just had a little bit of faith, like a mustard seed, and he seems to affirm them and says, you already do have that much. Don't you understand? You have it already. Faith isn't something that comes in grand proportions. I can't really give you a recipe to increase your faith. It's not a chemical equation. It's not a math problem that you add together certain things and you come up with more faith. It's about a relationship. It's about seeing Jesus. It's about walking with Jesus. Maybe it's simply putting that little seed into the ground, living out the faith, trying out the little bit of faith that we have, walking, working, serving, singing, carrying forth in the name of Jesus with just a little effort. Because what Jesus says next then really doesn't make any sense at all. Jesus tells this parable of a slave, and we scratch our heads again. What is it Jesus is talking about here? Buying into this brutal imagery of slavery, we raise questions again about the metaphor, but even we don't quite understand this metaphor, this parable about a slave who, after working hard around the farm all day and plowing the field and watching the sheep, comes inside and the slave wants to sit down, but the master says, no, make me a meal first and fix me some cold drinks, and then if you want to relax, well, then you can do it later. And again, we scratch our heads because it's a strange sort of parable. Jesus begins by putting us in the driver's seat. Suppose one of you has a slave. We're the bosses, and slaves are supposed to wait on us. Well, I don't know if there's any contemporary analogy, but, well, like the mail carrier or the garbage collector, we don't stop them out on the street and tell them to come in and serve them tea and cupcakes, although maybe we should. They're just doing what they're supposed to do, and picking up our trash and delivering our mail. That's what they get paid to do. They don't get any special rewards, usually. Growing up the oldest of five children, it always seemed to me that I had more than my fair share of work to do around the house. Felt a little bit like a slave. I had to be the first one out there pulling weeds in the garden. I had to mow the lawn. I had to clean my room, even though I shared the room with two other of my brothers. It was my responsibility to do that. I hung up the wash, I helped with dishes, I husked corn way longer than some of my other brothers. And I shoveled more than half the driveway too. So I'm not bitter about any of this at all. It's just what we did as oldest children in the house. But then halfway through the parable, then Jesus turns it around and he says, we're the slaves. Yeah, oh yeah, some of us know that. It's not we who have the slaves, we are the slaves, we are the servants. So also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, you say we're still worthless slaves. So Jesus turns the parable around from being the master and the owner to being the slave ourselves. We're no longer at the center of the universe with everyone serving our needs. Now, in a strange turn of events in this parable, we are the ones with work to do, sometimes thankless work to do. Sometimes, maybe Jesus is saying that's what faith looks like, doing the thankless little things that nobody recognizes. It seems to be Jesus' way of helping all of us move beyond this sterile, detached, you know, sort of debate that we want to talk about faith in the classroom, and we want to analyze what it really means to be a faithful disciple. And Jesus is saying, get to work. put your mustard seed of faith in the ground. Plant some seeds of faith. You have already all that you need. Now, get your hands dirty. Get out of the classroom and into life. Cover up the soil. Get some water out. See what happens with your little seeds. Put your faith and your ideas into action. Some time ago, a pastor was talking about her congregation and saying that she's risking more experiments now and worrying less about perfect outcomes. We're just trying a few things, she said. And she went on to say, God doesn't call us to the American model of success that says we have to get it right the first time. No, instead, we're called to be faithful followers, faithful with our gifts. And we're supposed to just build relationships and see what happens and let the results up to God. That can mean, we try again and again and again until our ministry better connects with those we're trying to serve. Someone has said the Christian church should spend less time debating the things it's not so sure about and more time putting into practice the things it already knows. That's what Jesus seems to be saying here about faith. Just put into practice what you already know, what you're already doing. Walk with the little ones. Forgive those who wrong you. Live as peacemakers. Love your enemies. Clean up after disasters. Volunteer in the community. Do the ordinary things of life. Talk to people. Bring some groceries to church every Sunday for the community food basket. Barbara Brown Taylor writes, "We waste a great deal of time and energy looking for the key to the treasure box of more. All we lack," she argues, "all we lack is the willingness to imagine that we already have all that we need. The only thing missing," she writes, "is our consent to be where we are. Maybe we're already in the right place. Maybe we already have the tools and the gifts that God wants us to use and to share right now. We have the faith of a mustard seed. We're here today." G.K. Chesterton, in turn, suggests that the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. That's what the disciples are in, this quandary of feeling the weight and the burden of all these requirements and demands and have left everything and now wish they could fulfill it to the lofty vision that they have. No, just get started somewhere. Increase our faith, Lord. We usually pray wanting a better, more peaceful, easier, less complicated life. And Jesus responds with a parable about being, a slave, an oldest child, putting our faith into action. Faith is like a muscle. It needs to be exercised. Jesus seems to say, when you do faith, then somehow it increases. This time of year, I find myself going around to the flowers outside our house, gathering seeds for next March, and it really is quite amazing how small those seeds really are. Mustard seeds, tiny specks of dust that we save. Hard to see them, but put in the dirt now or next spring, they grow into plants and produce flowers, wonderfully colorful plants. In fact, I picked a few seed pods from the lovely flowers out here by the main entrance of our church, and one person closely related to me scoffed at that and said, they will never grow. Well, who knows, I said, but one thing is certain, they will never grow if we don't try. It'll be my experiment. And so if there are deep, dark, tall, burgundy zinnias out front again next year, they will be a parable of God's grace, a parable of faith put into action, but not my work alone, of course. God is the one who gives the growth and the beauty, and all we're called is to just try a few things. So friends, this morning, with all of the big, growing problems of our world and even with the everyday stressors of our lives, it's easy to come to God and pray for more faith. Increase our faith, O God. We want more ability to see God's hand in the world. We want more faith to work at bigger solutions to the world's great needs. But Jesus' message to us is the same. You have all the faith you already need. Just keep showing up. Keep putting your everyday good work and your faith into action. The little things you don't think really amount to much. Keep believing that God has planted you where you belong, that you are called to this place and this life and this work, and you have all the tools and the faith and the gifts you need. So be yourself. Keep planting your mustard seeds, living as a servant, depending on the Master's grace, because the good news of the gospel, friends, is that just a little is enough. Amen.